This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo, how you doing? You are sipping tea with myself, Timmy Meraki. Man, it's actually not as much fun seeing that without my Bali here. I still miss her. Anyway, this is Timmy Meraki. You are sipping tea this morning. And with me, I don't know what to call this guy. He's popping my male cherry. my male guest cherry. I've never had a male guest ever on Sipping Tea, and he is my first. OMG! Everybody, I would like a standing ovation, claps. I want Mexican wave, give it up, screams, throw a bra, ladies, for my husband, Mr. Mpa Osei Tutu. Hey, baby.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, see, I do that Tebow touch. Dun, 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 dun. You've been Tebow touched. Hi, baby.
Hey, babe, what's up?
I'm good. How you doing? Why are you speaking like an American?
I'm just sipping my tea over here.
What do you mean? Where did I marry an American?
What are you talking about?
We are not at home in the bedroom.
I'm tuning
you. This is not role play. This is work. I'm at work, yeah.
Okay.
Be professional about yourself.
I'm being put in line.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm the guest now. I'm there are levels to this thing.
Yes.
Okay, sharp.
Yes. This is not the house where you just pull out your belt and then I listen. this is work things, yeah. Now I'm the boss, yeah.
Although it would be kind of cool if we could, like, you know.
What?
Yeah, I could pull off my belt and, you know.
Yeah. Actually.
In here.
Ne?
On radio.
This is what I'm thinking.
Hey.
Okay. We'll take a break somewhere in the middle of our conversation. We'll get Duncan to get out of the studio. Mm-hmm. And then me, you, belt, lock the door.
Mm. And radio.
Eh? On radio. Yeah, on we radio. Won't switch off the mic.
No.
Can just let them hear and then they can wonder.
Mm.
Yeah. Then if they imagine. Okay, babe, I'm getting too warm now. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
I invited this guy here because Duncan had rightly put that you have never had a dude on this thing. And I thought, okay, let me get a dude.
Duncan deserves a medal. He deserves a bells and a medal.
Yes.
For that.
Yes.
Because
I don't think he does, because you bribed him. So he's chowed the money you gave him already for forcing me to get you to be on this show. So, Mpo Osei Tutu, I invited you here as well because, you know, there are a lot of questions that people ask me about being married to you, and I'm sure the questions people ask you about being married to me, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna ask you since you're here, because I just feel like, let's just answer some of these questions so that hopefully nobody asks me again. Because sometimes I'm like, are you really curious, or are you just trying to make a conversation like you don't know what to say? Because you're like, oh, it's Tumi Mrek. What do I say to Tumi Mrek? You know what I mean? So let's start off with, why did we arrive in separate cars? Why was I here before you, and then you arrived just before we did the show?
Yeah, why did we arrive in separate cars?
Are we fighting?
We are not fighting. We are working. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And when you're working, it kind of doesn't make sense when you're busy and you're in demand like us. You know, because that paper's coming in. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah, so to kind of share. You've got rehearsals after this,
and not together. Yes,
and I have to submit a script.
How's that going? How's that deadline?
Yeah, it's going. It's going.
People, you it don't understand. You guys don't understand my dilemma. I get into bed with a man. Now, usually, when you get into a bed with a man and you feel something hard against your thigh, you're like, "Woo!" I check, and it's a laptop. Because the dude is working, because he's chasing deadlines.
Yeah, man, it's real, you know. Three children.
Don't blame my children for you bringing your
job. Because now I'm thinking Harvard. I'm thinking, you know, UCLA. That's what I'm thinking.
So that's why you're working in bed.
That's why I'm working in bed. I don't.
You want to send my children to America? You think I want my children to be all the way in America, where if I want to see them, I must first get a visa, then I must still get a very expensive flight ticket to go and see my own children? That's what you want?
Yeah.
No, my children are not going to America, bro. No, I never agreed to anything of the sort.
When did this conversation happen?
No. The only time I agreed to it was when we were getting that other insurance that if one of us dies, then our kids automatically, their fees are fired, are covered.
So if none of us die, they must
they must just live with the fact that that's what fate gave them.
They must go to
parents who are alive. That they must be close to who can love them. Yes, they can come to Wits University. It is an amazing institution. They can go to Cape Town. That's just a flight or a drive away. Mm. I am not having my children go where I must go and change time zones just to see them. No. Why are you starting fights so early
because
in the morning with
me? I'm not starting a fight, baby.
No, my children are not going overseas. Baby. So they say, oh, it must be so funny in your house all the time because you guys are so funny. Answer that question. Is it, babe? Is our house like a circus? Are we a laugh a minute?
It kind of is. It's like a laugh factory. We kind
really?
Of, we're making jokes.
So where
time.
Am I when this is happening? Because I can't remember the last time I laughed this morning. But
yeah, but you know how it is, you know, in the factory, it's not like you're always going to get the product.
Yeah.
There is where the engine room is,
yeah.
Where we are finessing, where we're actually
yeah.
sometimes
But these people aren't talking about work.
Each other.
But these people aren't even talking about work. They're literally saying our lives are just filled with laughter. Like you and I are always joking. Like we're fighting and laughing at the same time. I hate you.
Screw you.
Screw you. Oh. You're sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, no. Listen, not in our house.
Not in our house.
No.
Yeah.
Yo, our house is, let's just say it would be kind of boring to be sitting in our house.
Yeah.
That's why when people come to us and they're like, hey, we'd love to do
a reality show
about your lives, we'll be like,
have you met our children?
You don't even know. You don't even know how boring it is.
It is so boring. It is, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are always on the PlayStation. Ifia and I are always up to something. If I'm not painting her nails, she's painting my wall.
But listen, if there's a bidder out there, you know, the highest bidder, we'll take that reality show. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know,
are you mad?
We like money.
No, guy.
That is
no, my
friend. Definite.
No, my friend.
What do you mean?
I refuse.
No.
We'll
have to ching chong cha for this one.
No, Mpo. Have you seen how quickly our house moves from it's clean, it's just been cleaned, everything's in place, everything sparkles, and then all the kids have to do is just walk in. You blink once and it's over. It's a mess. Now you want to include a crew that's going to break shit.
Hey, man. If they are paying, if the price is right, who would not?
I'm
just saying.
No.
Who would not?
No, dude.
Do you think the Kardashians are just making nothing with that crew?
Are we going to be getting paid Kardashian money?
Hey, listen.
Are we going to be getting paid Kardashian money?
Listen, it's not. If you can believe it, it can happen.
Whatever. Baby, what's it like being married to me?
Oh, exhausting.
Because I'm asking you this because
a lot of older ladies
I meet are always like, how does your husband cope? You're always with men and you're always out with men. You're always the only girl. How is your husband? What time do you get home? Mm. And I'm like, yeah, but.
Nah, man. You know, the thing is this. I think I'm okay with you being out with men because the thing is, I think. Because
I can throw a punch.
Because you can throw a punch, basically. And you've proven that.
Yes.
That you can. But also, yes. I mean, beyond that, I think a relationship needs that kind of. One must be able to let a person go. You know what I'm saying? And that's something we've. You know, and we're in the business. It's not like a shock and a horror when you walk in at 4 a.m. I know where you've been, I hope. And it's what we do. We've gotten used to it.
Guys, I've never walked on you.
I don't have a problem with it. But it helps that you can pack a punch, definitely. And also, now it helps that I know it's about kala.
What's tukala?
Kasutu.
That sounds so scary. What is tukala?
A stick fighter.
Oh my god.
It's about kala. So, you know,
let's just say
we're going to get traditional if anything happens untoward. You know what I'm saying?
He gonna go traditional on your ass. Mm-hmm. But don't you find it weird that nobody asks me what it's like being married to you? If how do I feel when you walk in late or when you're gone for days and you're surrounded by a lot of women, and you know what I mean? My issue is nobody ever asks me that, hey? Mm. I don't understand why is it such an abnormality for you, but it should be, I must just be fitting in and naturally accepting that you will come home late and you'll be away and you'll be the only dude among chicks. Or you'll have chicks swarming you.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. I think it's just the way people and the world has been socialized. I grew up in a family where I would do chores from a very young age. I'd cook I'd wash clothes and everything. So that concept is a little bit strange to me that they are
shameless things. And he cooks,
eh? I don't have a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Can't clean the kitchen for shit, but he will cook. Yeah, you will clean up when he's done.
A woman must know her place, isn't it?
Oh, it's like that now.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but for real, I mean, I think it is an issue, and it's something that you and I have kind of addressed at some point, that it's, you know, in terms of those roles being equal, to me, that's a normal thing because that's how I grew up.
But, you know, I had to get used to that when we were dating, because I used to think, yeah, but this nigga, he's not even trying to charm. Like, remember, he used to make me go Harvey's and things. You weren't like, I'm taking you to a movie. That's like, yeah, let's go to movies.
Listen, I was a student.
Give me your money.
Let's be context. Please, context. I was a student. I was not a blesser. I was coming from that angle of, listen, I'm getting to know you.
Yes.
And I don't know you. You might be a gold digger.
Yeah.
And you know.
You thought I was a gold
digger. I'm going to say to you, you know what I'm saying? I'm gold heavy.
Oh my God. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God.
Let's just please. I'm gonna say to two, I'm an Ashanti. I come from the Gold Coast.
Oh Jesus.
Gold is something that is very precious to us. Gold is not something that needs to be dug by no gold diggers that ain't been invited. You know? So
I cannot believe you just said you weren't sure if I was a gold digger or not.
Hey man, who's ever
that
sure? Duncan, are you ever sure of such things?
Duncan, don't get involved.
No, but yeah, look, listen. Okay. I was also, you know, if we are to really, you know, because the listeners probably want
to
know.
My first car.
Stuff.
I had to go and get it fixed. Like, I was used to guys saying, I'm going to take my woman's car to the mechanic. You made me do that shit myself so that I understood for myself how my car works.
Look, the truth is this. I had to be schooled on life. And I think being with you has taught me a lot about how to treat a woman. And I, you know, the listeners may not know this, but, you know, we're going to put it out there. Because... you were my second girlfriend.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? And the truth is...
So, I didn't really have that experience being kind of, you know...
Yeah. No, but I'm actually taking the piss. The truth is, what you did made me very independent. Because people's issue is, I'm so free. I'm so self-sufficient. And true. For them, they're like, yeah, but now, how does your husband cope with that? Like, how aren't you taking something away from him? Shouldn't he be taking care of you? And I'm going, yeah, but he taught me that I'm strong enough. That's what you did for me. You know what I mean? You made me feel like you're there, but I'm not dependent. Surely that's a good thing. Cause
I think it is, but it's also a thing of balance because you don't want to make a push a person away like that as well, because if you're not able to be romantic and you're not because of a certain principle that you've grown up with, then...
But you were romantic.
I don't know.
You would
know,
take me to Kabu. You'd be like, no, you're paying too much. I know this guy Kabu. So you'd make me go into my own car, but you would still go, how much did you pay?
I don't think it was conscious, man. You know what I mean? I think it was, a lot of the time it wasn't conscious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's definitely a thing of, I don't want to, I knew that whoever I was going to be with needed to be independent, needed to stand on their own two shoes. And, you know, that's kind of... That's kind of how I think we ended up together.
Yeah. Someone is asking a question. Kotua asks, tell us, how did you guys meet and how did Mpo propose?
Okay. We met at WITS. Yes, we were studying drama, and we liked each other, yeah. I guess.
We were friends.
We were friends for a long time.
We were friends for
and
2 years.
And we went, you know, at WITS we had to crew on productions.
Yes.
And crewing is like doing all the technical backstage stuff. It's not very glamorous. You painting sets, you know, it's hard work.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be the flavor of WITS at the time.
Yeah.
I was
You were the black he was that black guy in all the white movies. Where you're like, but it's always the same black guy. He's like, yeah, he's the guy. That was him.
So anyway, we met on the we had to crew on this production, and me and always used to get a little bit jealous. I'm gonna
jealous.
Say jealous.
Jealous.
Because you know when you are in productions and you are the flavor of the moment and you're doing what you love.
No.
And it's not like you're doing what you love. You're not crewing. You know what I'm saying? You went to school to become an actor and you're acting.
Yeah. No.
One can understand why somebody would be eating you jealous.
I wasn't eating you jealous
of such things.
But it was annoying. We were doing all the hard work. We were all getting one mark based on everybody's effort. And you were never there. So if we got A's and you got an A for not even being there.
Hey.
That's not jealousy. That's me identifying something that's unfair. Just because you were in with the power. And I remember on the day that we were striking. Now striking, guys, you know when you go to a production, think about any live production you've ever seen. Think of Cinderella the musical. Think of Disney on Ice, okay? You see how beautiful that is? Somebody has to take that down. We built the set from scratch. And then we had to take that set down. And this lady had the nerve to say, please put away some food for Mpo. Because when they finish his production, he's gonna join us for strike. I'm like, what? We're saving food for who? So Mpo came, and that was the day also were telling us like how we did and you know how we're gonna probably score. And I was like, I got to everyone in the crew. I was like, guys, we should tell Mpo they've decided they're failing him because he hasn't been here. Because all of us are doing other productions, but you know what? We made sure that at least for the most part, we were there building the set.
Yeah.
Not this ninja. He was too busy being a freaking celebrity. So don't come tell me I was jealous.
Listen, call it what you
want to
call it.
And you still have the nerve to arrive
at the end
halfway
of the day,
through strike.
I got my
and
credit.
You
and I did
halfway
contribute to that set. I did paint one pillar. I painted a pillar.
I am going to punch this ninja.
At the end of the day, I know what I mean?
Okay, can we move on?
At least I know how to paint.
Can we move on?
You know, I walk away.
Can,
if
well,
this acting thing doesn't work out,
I can actually build
can
an
paint.
Actual pillar out of nothing. Yeah, don't tell me you can paint.
And see,
you can.
And then she's complaining as to why it is that I don't take her car to the mechanic when she can do it herself. You see, this is what I have to live with.
Okay, so we've been through some really tricky times as a couple, and I want us to talk about some of these things because we went through a lot that built us as a couple. And I want to take us back to there's two experiences which were huge for me. One happened just when we were starting and another happened when we were not together. So I want to ask that the day we were hijacked, 2006, if you remember. No, it wasn't 2006, I lied. It was 2002.
Yo, I've blocked it out in my memory.
Yeah. we were hijacked, basically, at gunpoint.
Yeah.
These guys wanted money. Remember, they were shouting. They wanted our money. They wanted to know where your gun is.
Yeah.
And we were like, we don't have a freaking gun.
Yeah.
And then that guy, one of the guys took me and just, I don't know
he
where the hell he was.
He dragged you into because we were.
Yes, he dragged
into
me into
like
that
a
stream.
Little, like flay stream thing on the side. And I was just like, yo, don't touch.
That's
don't
what
touch
I was wondering. Because I could, you know what? You were starting to piss me off. The weird thing is you were pissing me off because I could hear you arguing with the guy. I'm like, the guy's got a freaking gun. Why are you having a conversation with a guy with a gun?
Because we live in South Africa. I didn't know what they were going to do to you. And honestly, I would rather they took you, me, sorry, and left you.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. They took me and did what they would with me, you know, and let you go. I
what
think
was
it
going
was
through your mind?
Thing.
Yeah, because that's what I wanted to know.
I don't
what
know.
Was going
I think
through your
at
mind?
The time, they were, you know, you have, this is the first time I have a gun in front of my face. I don't know if this
no,
is
babe,
a game.
This was the second time you had a gun in your face. We're
going to
talk about
the
first
time
just now. This was the second time.
Really?
Was this was the second time, yeah. That other incident that we're going to talk about
happened
before. That's
what happens. I just have
before.
Guns in my
face. Yeah, that's really. Another thing, guys. That's because you know what?
I've cheated death twice. Yeah, and I can't. I don't even know when they were clearly.
Yeah.
You see, this is why I'm married to Dumi. She's chronologically. She has everything.
I'm a woman. You know, we remember order. Shit. It's a yeah. woman thing. We remember shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because people wonder why. There are people who have asked me, like, Dumi, you're so boisterous. How did you end up with such a cool-ass ice guy? And this is a side to you that I want people to know exists. Mm. So yes, yeah, so you're telling me in the hijacking when this was happening and the guns in your face. And
so, yeah, I'm arguing with these guys. I'm trying to, you know, he's hitting me. He's, like, pistol whipping me and whatever. And yeah. I don't know where you are. And
I remember how much I was,
you know,
giggling.
I'm just screaming. I'm
giggling.
Saying, leave her, just take the car. And I was terrified, man. And I don't know what happened. Clearly our angels, our ancestors are there. Mm. And yeah, they took the car and bounced.
Was it a relief for you when they threw you in that stream and you saw me? Because I don't know if you were even aware that that's where they'd thrown me.
Yeah, no, it was a relief. I mean, I could hear you as well, so I think it was...
Because all I can remember is laughing. I don't remember saying anything. What were you hearing?
I could just hear your breathing.
Oh,
I could
okay.
hear your breathing. I could hear... I was like, okay, they've left you. Nothing has happened.
Yeah.
You are okay.
Yeah.
Scary times.
Yeah. Sure. So how did you get past that? Like, because, you know, someone said to me, my ex-boyfriend, in fact, because I told him about it a few months later... And I remember him saying, thank God you were with that guy and not me, because I think I would have gotten us killed. And this other guy, KG, you remember KG? He spoke at Jay's wedding.
Oh.
And KG was saying he can't believe we're still together after that incident, because he said for him as a man, if he had known there was nothing he could do and he watched someone leave with me, regardless of how that ended, he didn't know how he would have been able to face me. Because he couldn't protect me. Mm. So what do you think kept you with me? What got you past that? Did you ever feel that way? Or did you just decide it didn't end badly? Let's move on.
Gosh, I think I blocked it out of my memory very quickly. I didn't dwell on it. It almost felt like we were just a statistic. I was just grateful that nothing happened. You know, I really didn't process it, and think, you know, because in those moments, you don't have much time to think. It's like you just, but afterwards, in retrospect, I was just, you know, you just have to be grateful for life because in an instant, it can all be over, you know.
At any point, were you thinking, if I'm going to die with anyone, I'm glad it's this chick?
No.
What did you?
I was like,
wow.
I'm not gonna die today. I think it is also that thing of, I'm not gonna die today.
Mm.
These guys clearly came to get something.
Mm.
This car.
Mm.
Let them take the car and let's not make it any more dramatic than it needs to be.
Did it not freak you out that they were hijacking us in English? Because the one thing, I think this is another thing that made me giggle, because it felt so unreal. I was like, these guys, not only are they speaking English, it's not even broken English. You know, because for me, I tend to use English, especially at that time, as a measure of education.
Yeah.
And I was going, but these guys, they speak like they've gone to good schools. Like, you know, remember?
It was freaky. And they, yeah, man, it was. And
they
their
were clean.
Eyes, they were so high.
They were so high. And, yo, they were high.
Yeah. And I think the thing about it, having a gun in your face, I don't know, you know, I literally thought it was a toy. And I was somewhere else. And I was like, you guys are messing around.
That thing was so
this
cold.
Thing is
I
not real.
You thought it was a toy.
I think I knew it was real when the pistol whipping started.
I
was just like, okay.
Because even me, when he put it against my neck, I was like, oh my God, this shit is actually real.
Yeah.
Now, the first time you had a gun in your face, ladies and gentlemen, this man, and this is when Mpho was still my friend, and this is when I truly admired your spirit. This guy stood between a gun and his ex-girlfriend. And she wasn't even your girlfriend at the time. I think you guys had just broken up or you were having one of your fights. You were in between. Because, you know, he and this chick kept getting back together and breaking up. Anyway. And I just remember you standing, because someone In fact, you didn't stand between her and the gun. The guy threatened your ex with a gun. Mm. Then some white chick stepped in.
Yeah.
And he pointed the gun at her head.
Yeah.
And you stood between that gun and Haley's head.
Mm. Mm.
And you looked him in the eye and you said, let's just talk about this. Put this thing down. I have to ask you a very honest question because I think everybody else was asking you deep questions.
Yeah.
Be honest with me.
Yes.
Was it because you'd watched too much TV? Was it too much Mel Gibson? Was it? Because I was still like, why the fornicate does anyone step in front of a gun and tell a guy, let's talk about it?
I don't know. You know, it's one of those things where you're not inside your body and something takes over and you literally are operating on an, you know, someone is operating your body and your mouth and, you know, I don't know what got into me. Any other day, I probably would have just shut that door and walked away.
Hidden.
Do you know what I mean? Or hidden.
Because what people need to understand is this guy did shoot someone that night. He shot our professor.
Yeah.
He shot out. He chased our professor around the theater and he shot the man. The guy is alive. He survived because he only got him in the leg because he was running away and ducking and stuff. Mm. And while he was on his knees, that's when he shot him, actually, when the guy was trying to hide behind a chair.
Yeah.
So this is not an incident where, no, a guy was just threatening. This was a man with an intention to kill.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I, on some level, I didn't think or know what beef, you know, he had with these girls and whether it needed to escalate to, I don't know. I just remember at that, you know, that was the first, if that was the first time
that
I,
was
again,
the first time you're in front of a
I
gun,
had in
yes.
front of a gun, I definitely thought we're in a theater, first of all, you know, everything is fake here in the back, you know, and this probably isn't a real gun. You know, that I think was the first thing that got in my head. So
when you heard the gunshot go off and Malcolm get...
Yeah.
Malcolm screaming. Did it occur to you then?
Then it occurred to me.
Did you realize what you'd just done?
I think it did, yeah. I mean, of course it did.
Yeah.
Of course it did. And I still to this day don't understand how I could have done that.
Did you ever testify? Because I know it went to court.
We didn't. We were called to court a few times. You know, we'd spend a whole day there. Nothing ever kind of... I never had to testify. I hear the guy's doing well now.
He's eating money in Eastern Cape now.
And
he's the guy.
You know, it's amazing. It's just amazing that you can, you know, these things can happen. But yeah, this is the world we live in.
Ladies and gentlemen, I married my hero.
Choice. Sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours. This is CliffCentral.com.
Helicopter just landed. Me and my Clyde. I'm back in studio.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, that's how gangster we is.
Mm-hmm.
How gangster we be.
That's
as we
right.
sip on our lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we would ever share our lemonade with the world, baby? Because, I mean, I know a lot of people, like, I don't know if you've noticed when I post stuff about us and stuff on Instagram. And I get probably, I think that's when I get the most traffic. When I post pics of you and me or what that have to do with you and me. And some people hashtag relationship goals, you know, or when we talk cuck to each other on Twitter.
Sure.
And so people obviously see the beautiful, the power couple. Oh, they're so in love.
Yeah.
And it's, everybody goes through shit.
Yeah.
We faced our own shit.
Mm.
Do you think we would ever lemonade? Like B.
I don't know. I personally wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because I think, I don't know. I'm just not the type to, I mean, you know, when you do stuff like that, there's like two parts of you. I think one part is like, I really love this person and I want to share. It's like holding someone's hand in public kind of thing.
And saying,
you know what I mean?
And
going
and saying, I don't want people
to declare
to
the world that I love you.
And this thing is real, this thing. We are not perfect, but I love you with your imperfections. It's like removing your man's fake leg and going, I don't care.
Mm.
He's got a stump. But it's my stamp.
Yeah.
And I want you to see it.
Exactly.
And you're waving that artificial leg for everyone to see.
Although these days, I don't know. I mean, I with that, you, I know you're very kind of self-conscious about how you look and which pictures I post with you and things like that. And so I'm kind of, if it's not going to be real, sometimes I'm asking the question, why do it? Do you know what I'm saying as well? Because at the end of the day, I'm a human being. Mm. I happen to be in the public eye. Mm. And sometimes I need to get following or something, or I need followers and whatever. And you do things for different reasons. Mm. But I think mainly if I'm going to put something out with you, for you know, it's not for that reason. It's because I genuinely am like, yo, we're at this place. I'm having fun. I'm with my boo. And yeah, you know, if there's a meltdown at some point, I don't know if that needs to be out there, because, you know, who wants to put their problems out in the street?
So when you see it happen,
I don't know if it would do benefit me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So when you see it happen with other like celebrity couples or well-known couples, do you worry? Do you panic? Do you go, fuck, that could be me? Or do you go, ah, these people, why must they be out there?
In what sense? Like if they have a meltdown?
When their stuff, yeah, when their business is, when their shit's out in the streets.
Look, we took a risk going into this business.
Yeah.
And if a publication is going to come to me and be like, hey, what happened? I'm going to not tell them about that stuff.
Yeah.
But they're probably going to make up some shit.
Mm.
And if they do that, then that's the risk I took. I went into this business. I put myself out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I will deal with that if and when it comes.
Yeah.
Does that mean I shouldn't live my life? I shouldn't be post pictures of my family and my wife, you know, and my babies, even when things are a little bit rocky? I don't think so. Do you know what I mean? But that's just my standpoint. I know that it can, and I have received a lot of some flack from a couple of my friends about, you know, yo, why are you putting stuff out there? Like,
why are you putting your kids out there?
Why, you know, you guys just had a fight. Why is, you know what I mean? Because if anything happens, it's kind of like people are going to be remembering the other stuff, you know, and how good it was. And
but
you can't
be worrying about other people.
But personally, I don't, you know, I'm like, well, let it be. It's never happened to me. I've never had a media storm.
Like you called me Sanyo.
You know what I'm saying? But if it did happen, you know, I tend to think those people are doing okay.
But do you think, you know, these people consider their families, okay, they're all right?
You know
what
I mean?
They're all right.
They move on and it's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But our families, we have a lot of family who are also on social media, so we have to consider them as well, wouldn't you say?
Of course.
Just because we have families. I don't know.
Of course.
Do you think
do.
People forget that they have other families outside of themselves?
I think people do forget. But I look, I'm very family central.
Yeah.
Centric.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. And I would protect them, you know, at every at any opportunity I had.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I'm in the spotlight.
Sure.
And you know, they know I'm in the spotlight. They've supported me through it, and I think they also know to some degree what to expect if shit hit the fan. You know.
So tell me, the spotlight situation, what is it like? I mean, we're in a country where if you look at TV right now, language-wise, if you're black on TV, you're speaking an Nguni language, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And and you are essentially a foreigner. You're a foreign national in this industry. What's that like?
I don't know. I'm naturalized.
You're naturalized.
An ID, yo.
An ID, which you got. When did you get your ID? When did you get the South African ID? Are you hearing?
No, I lie.
Is everybody
lie.
Hearing? He doesn't know when he
1997.
Became. He does not know when he was naturalized. But you're still not black.
Yeah. That is such a mind. Oh, man.
Are you sure you didn't get it? No, Paul. You were naturalized
in
2000. No, it can't be 97.
Because we got you in... No, no, no.
92. You're 92, you guys got you.
We got you in 92. Let me tell you. Let me tell you my history, girl. Sit down. We arrived in South Africa in 1992. My dad was, you know, working. He got a job here from Lesotho. And I lived here as an immigrant. I even did Immigrant Afrikaans.
Immigrant Afrikaans?
And
what the
until
hell is
97.
Immigrant Afrikaans?
In 1997, I got naturalized. So I don't feel... gosh, okay, let's give her a moment.
Sorry, what's a migrant Afrikaans?
I don't even know.
Was that what they were
You know, I think at the time, you know, it was those Model C days when...
This was just before 1994.
There was a lot of transition happening. People weren't sure whether Afrikaans should be taught and things like that. But I went to a Model C school, and Afrikaans was still very much, you needed Afrikaans in order to pass the year.
So you were one of the first black kids then, eh?
That I do Afrikaans.
Were you one of the first black kids
there? Even though I had never heard it.
Were you one of the first black kids there?
I was one of the first black kids in that school.
But then you technically weren't black because you were a foreigner, and they liked you.
I was a foreigner then.
They like you more than they like normal blacks. But they liked you more than they liked the South African blacks, be honest.
I would say so, because I lived in the suburbs and I had white friends.
And you sounded like them.
They didn't know. I was like probably the first black kid in their neighborhood. So they felt, okay, whoa, if this guy is like this, then this is not my experience of black people. I would get that, oh, I'm poor. You're so cool, not like the other blacks, you know, that kind of thing. And which was shitty, you know. And I had to live through that through my primary, well, at least from standard three, you know, right up until matric. And it was only when I got to Wits where I was just like, okay, there's another world out there.
Yeah.
Because what happens is the black kids, while you are living in the suburbs and this is all you know, Lesotho, you know, and but this is what you know. You live in the suburbs. It's not like I'm going to the hood and I have family there and would also start to have, you would feel some complexes you. And around you and things.
Mind
like
you,
that.
Ladies and gentlemen, he says Lesotho, his mother's from Lesotho, so they settled there with his dad when he got a job there. But my husband was born in France and you grew up in Togo, UK, Ghana, Lesotho, and then you finally settled here.
Correct.
Because your dad didn't have a GPS so that you could just come straight to South Africa.
Yeah.
He was just
pit
stopping all over the world.
He was pit stopping, Shane.
Yes. So that's what it was like. You became a pilgrim. You became one of the pilgrims. He was a skate. Guys, my man can skate. He's a skater boy. He's teaching my son how to skate. I've tried to break those freaking boards because I think he's going to hurt my child. But they skate.
I do try to skate sometimes. I mean, it's difficult now with work and everything, but I love it.
But do you remember how white you sounded when I met you? Like when I met this guy, guys, like forgive me and my if I'm sounding racist right now, but do you remember what you sounded like when I met you? Like you were East Rand, huh?
No, you very much was. Yes, you know, it was, I couldn't help it, you know, like when you're hanging out with.
Guys, he's
with
not
Oaks,
making
they
it
talk
up.
Like this all the
exactly
time. What,
how he
what
spoke
else
when
is
I
supposed
met him.
To happen, you know? So,
do you know if someone had told me you were going to be my husband when I met you, if someone had said, this is your future husband, I would have punched them in the throat or taken them to rehab because I was like, oh, sorry, I'm laughing because Lars Gola just showed up in my window. Mm-hmm. He's such a handsome young man. I like him. Actually, these Gola brothers are very cool. Even his brother's very nice. Anyway, I digress.
He's not bad.
He's, you know. Hey.
Anyway. man. So, it was tough, you know, growing up in South Africa. But yeah, when I got to university, as I say, meeting people like you.
Yes.
You know.
I did blacken you hard.
You know, it was quite an eye-opener for me. Yeah. I mean, I suddenly was black. Dealing with, you know, black girls were interested in me. And it was okay to, you know, a lot of things were okay.
Wait.
It fits. And I was just like, this is how it should be. This is how it, because it's fine.
So
because
you,
we're
so
living
hold,
in Lesotho.
Hold on. Yeah. So while brothers were in the struggle of trying to get with the Caucasians, all you knew was Caucasian.
Not really. Because sadly, my applications were all denied in that department. And I had applications, yo. I had applications. Because, you know, that's who I hung out with, you know. Yeah. I would then have crushes on white girls and want to date white girls. It's unfortunately, none of them gave me the time of day. But look at me now. Look at me now.
Let them know, baby. You'll tell them, baby. You got you,
They didn't know.
You got you, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They don't miss that, huh? Mm-hmm. I can tell them what they missed that on, but it ain't that kind of show.
No.
It ain't that kind of show, baby. So what's it like been like trying to work in this industry? Because you're one of the busiest actors I know. I'm not just saying this because you're my guy. I'm saying this because I live in the industry and I see people who are busy. And I see people who are always at events and they look busy. They look like they work. But they don't. They're just social butterflies.
Yeah.
You work, but you don't speak Zulu. You're not that guy. So what is it? What is your biggest challenge in being this foreigner? Because that's what you are. Your Sesotho is too pure, so you don't get roles. It's Sesotho roles because you're not ghetto. You're not gassy black. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You are Ghanaian. So then when people know your West African heritage, then they want to cast you as a Nigerian. But then you're a little too diluted to be a Nigerian. Mm. So I don't know. How do you balance that ish?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I think if you can, try and convince people you're an actor. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm an actor.
You're an actor.
It doesn't mean that I can't learn some lines in Zulu and be unable to carry them, you know. At the end of the day, I think the directors and the people in the industry I respect are the ones that cast actors first.
Yes.
And then go, you know, like in our production, we had a girl that you know, struggled a little bit with Vinak, but we loved her performance.
Yes.
She was so right for the character.
Yes.
That language, we made a plan.
Yes.
You know, and often and there's not a lot of time, but we made it work.
Yeah.
You know, and then she even got a nomination for her performance, you know, as a SAFTA nomination. And that's the thing for me is if you can work with people that understand your ability and that are willing to look past things like language.
Yeah.
But it is tough. You know, a lot of the time there's no time to teach a person a language or to allow an actor to go through that process. Mm. But I think I act, I write, you hustle in this industry. Mm. You know, even those actors that are, are multilingual, struggle because all they have a lot of the time is just their acting ability.
Mm.
They don't write, they don't direct, they don't do other things, which I've had to kind of learn along the way, you know, and be open to. And I've found a lot of fulfillment in it, you know. It's, produce if you can, do voiceovers. It's a hustle. I'm not going to lie. It's a hustle. Mm. And there are days I'm just like, why am I doing this? Why? You know, I don't necessarily want to be a soap writer.
Yeah.
But there I am writing episodes of soaps.
Does the fact that I like the nice life put you under pressure? Because me, I like the nice life and you know that. I like being comfortable.
Yeah.
I like nice things. And I want to have the money to have the nice things. So do you feel like it puts you under pressure, honestly?
Yes and no. I just think that there's always enough. You know, it's okay to not be in the best thing, in the most expensive thing sometimes, but that's just my upbringing.
Yeah.
What I've learned and what you've taught me, and I really appreciate that, is if you make money and you're working hard, you need to enjoy that money.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's something that I've learned through associating with you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like,
people,
it's
this
not
guy's saying I make him eat money. Basically.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm not a very flashy guy. I'm not but at the same time, I like the things I like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll pay money for them. You know, I don't have a problem doing that.
So do you have an issue with the fact that our kids don't speak any Vernac?
I do because I grew up, my dad is from Ghana and the language, home language is Cree. And I think that's the one thing I'm disappointed about, not necessarily with my dad, but that I never picked up this language because there are Ghanaians all over the world.
Mm.
And really, I never learned it.
Mm.
And I would hate for my kids not to know my father's language, not to know my mother's language or their mother's language. Because I think language is so important. There's so much nuance in language. There's so much communication that you don't, that you can miss if you're just deciding, yo, I'm
going to be English. So, why is our wishes so terrible?
No, nakiyawabuyisa, and I've even told them that one day I'm not joking, and I tell them this because I'm preparing them for it.
You're gonna leave them in Lesotho.
I'm going to put them one holiday. I'm gonna take them to Lesotho.
Yeah.
And leave them there.
But baby, you can't just do that.
At least a month.
Who did you discuss this with?
They must pick up Sesotho.
No, yes, you know, they can
pick up Sesotho. It's difficult in the environment we live in, because we have English all over. They go to English schools.
When are you saying controversial things?
No, I'm gonna do that.
But why am I hearing these things for the first time on Cliff Central?
No, you're not. I've told you this.
When did you tell me this?
I repeat it all the time.
That you're going to leave them in Lesotho for a month?
Yeah.
My children?
Yes.
Where will I be at the time?
I don't know.
My Kader.
You'll be eating money somewhere.
No, Kader. Sure. Can't we just pay someone to come and teach our children Lesotho? This is extreme.
Yeah.
This is extreme.
No, I don't. Look, I think it's not just about the language for me.
What
it's
is
about
it?
The culture. It's about also not
but
just
the
culture. But
they know the culture. Our children are very respectful.
Don't.
Our children are very respectful. What do you mean?
No, they're respectful.
For me, that's the core of our culture.
What I'm saying, I'm not saying they don't, they're not polite and they don't, you know, that's family culture that we've put on them, you know.
Yeah.
I'm talking about knowing a little bit of the history, a bit of the cultural stuff that we doesn't happen in the suburbs.
Let's have a Thanksgiving. You know, let's have a slaughtering. We'll invite them.
They need... Look, fine. That's fine. We can do stuff like that.
Yeah,
but they must know that a piece of them is in Lesotho. A piece of them, you know...
Is in Ghana.
A piece of them is in Bloemfontein. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they need to... Because I grew up like that, with that identity crisis of arriving in Accra, arriving in Kumasi, even arriving in Maseru and now, one, not having any friends because we moved around so much, none of the friends stuck. And then just being completely like not knowing the language, not being able to communicate in any other way, not knowing how things are done, and feeling like a complete outsider. I would hate for that to happen to our children.
So you're making your problem my children's problem.
I want them to be real people of the world. You know, I like to mess around sometimes and go, yo, I'm a child of the world. But like, if
you're
a citizen of the world, and I am in a way.
Yeah.
But I feel like real, like they need to belong to something.
But you're working on moving to America. So give me context that you move to America, you do all of these kids for your kids.
Yeah.
Isn't it a little bit superfluous?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. They will always have a part, you know, a piece in Africa, like I say. And if America happens, that will be part of them as well.
Cool.
I just think that we shouldn't neglect the fact that they come from other places too.
Thanks for hanging out with me, my love. Now tell me, I usually have Hugger Man. So based on how passionate you are about languages, should I say... Today's Hugger Man goes out to every man out there who's made sure that their offspring knows their language and their culture. Is that who we're hugging today? Do you approve?
Yeah.
That's the man we hug?
If it's something that they believe in.
That they believe in.
Know.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, okay. And if you and I were to split, what's the one thing you would fight for to keep? Outside the children. What's the one thing that you're like, we're
going to
fight
really.
Over? No, it can't be the kids. It needs to be something, an object. Something in our house. What would you fight me for in the house?
Oh my gosh. I would fight you for the couch.
Ha! Ah, no! The long one, the brown one.
I refuse,
Kade. It's going to be an ugly fight. Yo.
No, you can't have that couch.
I'm staying married to you for the couch then.
No.
thank you so much for spending time with me. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my husband, Mpho Osei Tutu. If you want to follow him, he's on Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
At Mpho82.
At Mpho82. On Twitter, he's Mpho82.
At Mpho82.
At Mpho82. Mphoted. Such a show
yeah,
off that
you
he's
can
imported.
Visit my website at www.mpho82.com. And I'm on Facebook as Mpho82, the artist.
So, Mpho, I promise you now in front of everyone, I will try my best not to embarrass you when I talk on the radio, and I will remain respectful. But thank you so much for giving me today, darling.
You're
shall
welcome,
we go to work
man.
Now and make real money?
Let's do that.
I love you, my boo-boo.
I love you too, Angel.
Bye.
Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.